Yeah, I mean, people clapped for me and my jokes were bad, and they were, I would always make the poor decision to like make like super pointed like puns that were like so niche. Like I would make like really bad puns. Like I think the worst one I ever did might have been at your guys' like the Rain in July EP. No, it was Postcards tour release, tour kickoff.
Oh.
Where, because Aiden had his side project Little Car, mm-hmm. but they always toured in Alex's like minivan. But not everyone knew that. That's not like, so I was like, oh, so since Postcards is going on tours, Aiden gonna have to call, change the name of Little Car to Little Van.
And I think I remember that. Was that the Moon Room? Or...
I think it was Marquee.
Oh, Marquee.
Because
oh,
I remember just going like straight silent, and then like one of our friends in the back went like, and that was it. And then afterwards, they're like, Connor and Nate were just like, please don't have the mic anymore.
I really do remember that. It's like such a deja vu. I don't know if we were at that show. I might have just come as like a guess. But.
I definitely wasn't there, but I can picture it perfectly in my head. Patrick, and so.
Yeah.
Y'all want to hear a joke?
And the best thing is that was not the only joke, nor was it maybe even the worst. It probably was the worst one, but it was not the only joke. It was all like in that line.
Yeah.
And it was just not good. It was just a really bad night. But then I think the next time we played at the Marquee, I think with you guys or something like that.
Because
I feel like there was one show, it was like, I'm pretty sure it was a Postcards show, and then there was a show with you guys, and like, they were both at the Marquee. They were not that far between each other.
Yeah.
And then one of them, I was just the most awkward human being. Like, it was just that kind of like, awkwardness. There was like half confidence attached to it, and it was just like really shitty puns.
Yeah.
And it was just not a good, it was not landing. And then the next time I was just like on my game, and I was just saying random stuff, and people were like reacting to it really well. And they were just, I remember like Lucas being like, I think I one time I had like a beer, and I was just like, to debauchery. And then we started a song, and then they're like, what?
Debauchery. Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure at that point I only, like, vaguely understood what the word meant, because it's not something you just use in...
I just always go back to the SpongeBob episode. A night of debauchery.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true.
Classic.
For me, I was, like, for some reason, I think I was on, like, a really hard Wombats kick, which is, like, nice. Every other week for me.
Yeah.
But, like, the song, what was it? I think it was Jump Into the Fog.
Classic.
And I was just like, yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to a random tangent about the freaking wombats. Like, my most viral YouTube video features the wombats, and it just brings me back. So every time I listen to them, I'm just like, yes.
Oh, nice. That's cool. Yeah. I need to listen to them more.
Yeah. Oh, I love those guys so much. Oh,
yeah.
I, like, end of high school, just the A Guide to Love, Loss, and Despair. That album is just so good. Because then they went all, like, alternative with a lot more of like the synthy stuff, which is super cool. All their stuff is really cool, but that was like just the perfect album for me, like my senior year of high school, to like super like just dive into. Like at that time, I'm pretty sure This Modern Glitch was coming out, but still I found like Anti-D and Tokyo and Vampires are, I think that's the song. Yeah,
cool. Yeah.
Oh, and then I found like Let's Dance to Joy Division and like that whole album, and I was like, oh my god, this is what I want to be. And then I just got lost and obsessed, and
nice.
I love that band. I always just want to be the Wombats. That's been like my goal.
Honestly.
Yeah,
you probably haven't noticed too much. I guess it kind of comes through in the sound. I don't know. That's one thing I'm interested in like talking about too, is like, I haven't talked about it, is like, you can always kind of hear influence.
Yeah.
And probably like see influence in like graphic design stuff, but sometimes you don't really think about it or notice what the things are. So
yeah. Yeah, I think for some artists it's like kind of inherent in who they are, just like growing up listening to that band, or mm-hmm. maybe it's the thing they're just totally into, like right then, like yeah. the Wombats or something,
mm-hmm.
every other week or like yep. every day, you know. It can kind of come through, mm-hmm. but yeah, I like when it like just naturally comes through for people,
mm-hmm.
Because obviously there's a lot of artists who like really try to like, I want to sound like Sonic Youth, I'm gonna make a record just like that,
mm-hmm.
but I think it usually comes out better when it's like, that's just what they really like,
yeah,
and then it's like, I'm just gonna make some music, oh it sounds like it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that I don't know the Wombats well enough to know if like, yeah. like hear it in your music.
Honestly, I don't think so. I really don't think so. But like, I think it's one of those things that it comes through and like, you can maybe notice like certain like approaches to songwriting or something, or just how the song flows. It might have kind of like a similarity, but it's not like a very blatant thing. I don't think.
Right.
And I guess. Are we starting? I think we've already started.
We've just
kind of started. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Where there's
I was about to delve into our first, like, you know, tangent question where, like, Patrick, you're talking about, like, listening to things and being like, ooh, I want to be like that. Have you, like, listened to, like, or experienced things that you're like, that's it. That's the goal.
And first, yeah, before you answer that, this is a podcast called Fueled by Lore, and our guest today is Ethan Knight.
Hello.
Oh man. Okay. So, anyways, with that question again, sorry if you have to repeat it. Do you remember what it was?
Oh yeah. Okay. Like,
yeah. Well, honestly, people listening can't see this, but I'm wearing a Jimmy Eat World T-shirt,
mm-hmm.
and I would say honestly, just my favorite band, because I think they never burn out for me. They're like the only artists I can think of where genuinely, like, no matter what mood I'm in, no matter what album they have, like, I'm listening to, I'm just like.
Yeah.
This feels right, you know?
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of, like, favorite artists where even if I'm just not in the right mood, it just I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
you gotta feel it.
Yeah, but. Right. Like, there's so much, like, well, speaking of this genre, like, pop punk emo mm-hmm. stuff that I love. But, like, there's a lot of times, especially as we've gotten a little older, that I just can't listen to, like, all the time,
mm-hmm.
even though I love it.
Yeah.
But for some reason, this band just really hits hard for me. But, yeah, I guess I haven't always, like, actively tried to sound like them. Like, in mm-hmm. Rain in July or something, I wasn't, like,
yeah,
I want to sound just like their drummer or something, yeah. but it's kind of just like, again, it's almost inherent in like who I am because I've grown up my whole life listening to them, and
mm-hmm.
And they do still inspire me even with their new stuff. So
yeah,
I'd say maybe them.
Mm-hmm.
I think lately, like with a new project I'm in, we're going a little more for like post punk kind of vibes.
Yeah.
So Joy Division,
mm-hmm.
I heard that
yeah.
title. I don't
yeah.
know what that song is or album, it's, but
yeah, the whole line is like, let's dance to Joy Division. And celebrate the irony.
Right. So, I was gonna say that is some of the most depressing
yeah.
Music I know of and really like.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just like yeah. dancing to it, I love that. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's so great about post punk music. It's like really kind of sadder, moodier punk, but like you can dance to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
like Wire or The Cure,
mm-hmm.
Talking Heads, of course, Joy Division, all that stuff. I think
mm-hmm.
at least currently in my new project, we're kind of.
Nice.
Maybe channeling that, but
I like that.
Not fully. We're not just trying to sound like a Joy Division
yeah.
band or something, but
yeah,
well,
I guess
yeah.
that's what
yeah.
I choose.
And it's like growing up listening to things or like just experience, nothing happens in a vacuum. Any, because that's this is a tangent. I'm sorry, but like it just makes me think of this conversation that I know a lot of like graphic artists have. It's like, ooh, I'm self-taught, and I'm like, you might have like. Drawn like by yourself and learn things, but you like you have existed with all these influences around you. Art is everywhere, music is everywhere, and if you think you like make all these things without any sort of influence like helping you along or affecting you, I think that's sort of
naive or like
yeah naive is a good word for it, maybe even egotistical. It's like
yeah.
you haven't made all this, are you?
Yeah, I
figured. Hey.
Hey. Well, now you can see kind of the Jimmy World shirt, maybe.
Yeah.
Patrick just snapping pics.
Yeah. I figured I'd like post something since we kind of just like went radio silent for a few weeks.
Oh yeah, I yeah, that's
not
oh,
that's
bad.
Okay. That's okay.
But,
awesome.
Yeah. No, I totally
yeah.
agree, like 100%. Yeah. I think it's okay too to not
mm-hmm.
like to say these are my inspirations
mm-hmm.
and even just sometimes be like, I was trying to play this song and I just created something off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't think that's like a ripoff. I think anyone
mm-hmm.
who like uses those terms
yeah.
unless you're literally like just taking it and you're not sampling their music or something, I wouldn't call that a ripoff. I think that's just more of like an inspiration, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Yeah, I think that's like a tough line to draw, and I feel like a lot of people get like hung up on that. And like, this is something that I've talked to Zane from Gestalt like so many times.
Yeah.
Actually, technically, he was formerly in Maddie's Change for like 2 weeks.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, nice. Kinda. He like, it was funny. He featured in one of our songs that was planned, and then when we were trying to still be a four piece, he came in and was kind of like lead guitar, and he wrote and recorded like a couple guitar parts on one of our songs, and then it's just like time wise it didn't work out between everything, which is fine.
Yeah.
But like him and I have talked about that, because like in high school I was just like, I want to sound exactly like this. Like, I want to sound exactly like Sum 41, or I want to sound exactly like this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like that's a lot easier and kind of like a mindset that a lot of people fall into when they're, you know, younger and first starting out, like a high school kind of project.
Well, you need goals, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And like you said, it's inspirations. Those are like your heroes. Those are like, you go to the shows and you're like, wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And you just want to recreate it in some aspect. And then it kind of becomes like, I want to create music like this. And then I feel like for me, it's also been, it hasn't exactly been like the recreating the sound or like something similar to a sound that I like. It's more or less like I want to recreate, you know, the feeling I felt when I experienced that song kind of thing.
Yeah.
And kind of just like, it's more of like the recreating experience as opposed to the sound itself, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's kind of where I've kind of gone to, is like, okay, so like this song made me feel this way. And then like, or with my music and stuff, it's just like, oh, I ended up in this weird spot. And like, how do I express that? And how can I like recreate that feeling through music kind of thing? And so that's kind of, I guess that's, that's just art, isn't it?
That's true.
Talking in circles there.
No, but it's true. That's like, of anything, like every year I think of my life, I do that more and more. Mm-hmm. Sometimes consciously, or it just kind of happens, but I try to like create whatever I'm creating more off of like what I'm feeling, or or trying to channel like a mood or a sound in that way, rather than being like more of on the surface level, which is fine too. Of like, I want to sound sonically just like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've written a lot of things like that too, but I think now it's more just like, it kind of just comes out however I'm feeling.
Yeah, the vibes.
Yeah, and it's generally influenced by whatever I'm listening to at the time, or what I'm into at the time.
I think that's like super organic to approach art like that, instead of like going in with like a sort of like logical mindset of like, okay, I'm creating a thing and it's going to be like this and this and this, instead of just like sort of going into it like, I'm trying to create this sort of, like I said, vibe, you know, like how am I feeling? How do I want to feel when I'm working on this sort of thing?
Totally.
Which I think is like really important, like while you're trying to like create things that are, that like, we were talking about this recently, you and I, Patrick, of things that feel good.
Yes.
Like making art that makes you feel good, instead of like sort of suffering through it for the sake of creating a thing, and just like making something that like, you're like, I'm vibing with this. This is how I'm feeling. This is how I'm like,
Right. Like, even if it's sad or has a lot of angst or something, as long as you can channel it into something at least positive for you.
Yeah.
I think
cathartic.
That's
yeah.
Yeah. Even if it makes you sadder or madder or whatever, sometimes it's great, you know?
Like, sometimes that's nice. Sometimes you just got to really like get into it.
Because use it as a positive outcome, being like, I made that, you know?
Yep.
Hello?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Get it. Because like, it sucks backing out of that driveway, out of her driveway, onto that street. Sometimes
that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's why I prefer to kind of park on the street half the time. Depends. Like, especially now with like the event going on, like our
I was gonna say, there's a freaking concert going on down there.
Fucked.
Oh yeah, the Thursday, I forgot about that.
Yep. Yeah. I need to, we need to like actually go. We can like hear it from our driveway, so we'll just like sit on the driveway.
Yeah.
Just jam.
I remember we wanted to play that little like amphitheater thing there one time, but we never got it. But
Do you have to get like approval for that, or?
Yeah, you have to go through the city and stuff. I remember one of Rand and July's first gigs ever was playing not there, but we played at the, and it also wasn't a technical street fair, but like, you know, that pavilion there.
Yeah.
We got to play that stage. It was for like a like post winter ball like Monarch thing.
Okay. And, for like high school.
Yeah, it was amazing. It's like so weird. It's like all these like people we knew ice skating and stuff were all like 17 or something. It was just like, what's going on right now? It was fun. It was really
fun.
That
sounds super fun though.
I think that's like my first show with a band was our middle school spring dance. Nice. We just like awkwardly like wore sunglasses inside because we were 12 and we thought we were cool.
Yeah.
That's played awesome. Random songs, and then people were like, yay, but you guys can't sing yet.
Oh, man.
But the heart is there.
The heart was there. It turned into something, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That was like my first gig. It was like a talent show in like 7th grade.
You really gotta start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was fun.
Did you do performance on like drums like through school and stuff, or like marching band, or like just concert band and everything? Is that...
Well, actually, so I, at least in middle school, they didn't have any, as far as I knew at the time, it was like, mm-hmm. this is like 6th grade. We're talking. They didn't have like jazz band yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they did, I think it was more just for like the really, really good 7th graders and then 8th graders and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about it. They said if I wanted to play drums, because I was starting to learn drums at the time, that mm-hmm. I would have to play just snare, you know? Oh, and I like that more now. But no, I was like, I don't really want to do that. I want to play like drum set, you know?
Yeah.
So I was in the orchestra for a couple of years, and
oh, nice.
I played cello. I'd be so bad at it now, but I did that. And then finally in 8th grade, jazz band was like a thing, mm-hmm. as far as I knew. Again, I don't know, but so I joined that, and then I just did jazz band for 4 years in high school.
Nice.
And that was really fun. That was a good time. But
was drums like always like the instrument that you just wanted to play? Like there was nothing else that was really interesting or kind of thing? Or
well, I've totally grown up listening to any kind of rock music, like yeah, you name it. And so ever since I was even like 4 or 5, I've always wanted to play like a quote unquote rock instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So like electric guitar, bass, or drums, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of the standard. And my dad is a guitarist. He's pretty good. But so he already had some guitars laying around and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why. I think I was like, I just want to be like different. I don't want to like be another guitarist. So I chose drums. And my first drum set was like this like CB drums kit. And my grandparents got it for me like way back.
Nice.
It was really fun. It was like that color, like that kind of like dark cherry red.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was good. Of course, I like my current drum set better, but that was a good start one.
Yeah.
But ever since, I just fell in love with it, and that's kind of been my main, you know, go-to instrument since.
Nice.
But yeah.
Like it's always interesting because I feel like people get into it in different ways, and I feel like you're always drawn to like the music that you end up kind of like listening to as a kid, sort of thing. However, you get into that, whether it's like what your parents listen to or what your friends listen to, and you just hopped on that. Like for me, like, my mom would always listen to country, my dad would listen to like anything, and then like my friend got me into Fall Out Boy like really hardcore in like 6th grade, and
yeah.
That was the end of it.
Nice.
But like, yeah, like I started out in violin and stuff, so it was all orchestra, and then I was like, well, I want to play guitar and be and like rock and everything. Same kind of thing. It's like,
yeah.
I want to play a rock instrument.
Right.
I'm just imagining Patrick, you and your violin, like going hardcore at a show and just smashing it on the stage. Just like, yeah, rock.
Like the yellow card guy. You know?
Oh, man.
He's so good.
I have an electric violin and I have performed it.
Nice.
With Maddie's Changed, actually. Hey. We have one song that has like a violin solo in it.
Oh, cool.
It was on our first EP and we never really played anything off of that after we got into like the album stuff. But
yeah. That's awesome.
You know,
nice.
Yeah, it's an instrument that I love, and I'm really mad at myself every day that I just don't play it as often as I used to, because that was like, I was actually pretty good at that, and
oh, nice.
I really loved it, but I definitely got like jaded by like not getting in anywhere for violin performance, so that kind of, you know, took a chip out of like the confidence kind of thing. So
yeah,
that,
I just,
that sucks.
It's just been a struggle to get back into it, so.
It's just
but I want to.
Super
yeah.
hard, like as an instrument too. So I'm sure it's hard to like get back into.
Yeah.
Not that guitar is easy, but
yeah.
I remember. I think cello is honestly a little easier than violin, but it was like really tough. It's a hard instrument.
I mean, I don't think there's like a like, oh, this one's tougher than this one. It's just kind of, you know, getting into. I think that the challenge for me is like, you know, I could pick up like a different instrument and like start from scratch and feel totally fine like that. But I think with this one, it's just like, oh, I am better than what I'm playing right now. And so then it's just kind of like a borderline impatience and like disappointment kind of thing.
Dude, that's the worst. When you're like, I know I can do better than this. Like, what is wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
Always the worst. Oh, man.
Sucks.
Especially something you know you're like at least decent at.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know how a nose works. Why doesn't it look... but I'm thinking about like hiccups like that. Like when you're like, ooh, I really know how to play this instrument. I'm going to apply for a thing and it's going to be great. And then it just... doesn't happen, because that's happened to me before too, where I'm like, ooh, I'm like so good at this thing, I'm gonna apply for this thing, and like you don't get it, and then you're just kind of like suffering, like, rethinking everything for a little while. Have you, like, ran into those sort of things where you're like, yeah, this is the best, I'm gonna apply for a thing, and it just doesn't work out? Like,
I mean, that sucks. Yeah. Totally, yeah. Especially, like, in just non-music stuff, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I've applied for, like, so many jobs in the past, but stuff like that, you never know. You're like, what did I... If you didn't get the job, it could even just be because, like, your schedule or something, but you're like... Oh, did I say something wrong in the interview? Yeah. Or, like, did I come off, like, weird? Or did I have, like, a stain on my shirt or something like that? You know, those kind of things go in your head. Kind of applies to music, too, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, for auditions that we've done, too, for... I'm trying to think. I remember... what was it for? Oh, it was for the Boulder Teen Creek Fest thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which we actually got to play in 2016?
Nice. Yes.
it was the start of Range. It was that summer, I think. And we... Anyway, I just remember we had to audition at the Fox Theater.
Oh, really?
That was, like, I hadn't played that much at that point, so at least, like, bigger stages. So it was super nerve-wracking, and there's, like, these – they had, like, a little judge panel and stuff. They weren't, like, that hardcore, but for, like, a Teen Creek thing. But they were basically just – there were so many applicants, like, so many bands that wanted to play it. So they had to, like, write down anything they could. I'll never know what they actually wrote down, you know.
Yeah.
Drummer couldn't keep time. I don't know. but yeah, I just remembered. I think it actually played pretty well, but I just remember that was that was, like, all that stuff was going through my head. I was like, oh God, like, I played that one note wrong, or, like, you know, like, we messed up that one line, or, like, whatever. But we ended up getting it, so it was pretty cool.
Nice.
But there's certainly other things we applied for too that we didn't get, and so all those kind of thoughts get in your head.
Yeah.
Self-critique.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'd never done, like, an audition as, like, a band before. Like, we'd done, like, a couple, like, I've done, like, Battle of the Bands. I guess we, as Maddie's Change, never did anything, but, like that, it was just shows and tomfoolery. But, like, with high school and stuff, we did, like, a couple Battle of the Bands. Like, we got into, like, Prairie View once because we had our bassist went there, and then we did, like, Horizon every year that we could. And, yeah, I don't know, it was... I forgot about that as, like, you know, you having the judges and everything, and like, I didn't forget about that when I, that's, like, for me, that's connected to, like, violin, for, like, violin competitions and, like, for getting into school and everything. And I forgot that that's something that, you know, we did back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, the older high school band. And I thought it was also kind of funny because what was it, someone asked me recently, I think we were, yeah, I think Adam and I were talking about that, and I was trying to get, like, a timeline for, like, when Maddie's Changed was a band, and I was like, how long was I in that? It was, like, 4 or 5 years. Like, looking back, I was like, what? It's like, when did we start? And, like, you were saying, like, I think we started, like, exactly the same time as you guys, like, 2016 or so. And I was like, man, that's, like, so long ago right now.
I know. That's so crazy.
It's so weird to look back and be like, what?
Yeah. I know. 5 years is, like, so long in, our lives, at least.
Yeah. And then,
something
like,
when a parent would be like, no, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
5 years. For me, it's like, well, it's like a quarter of my whole life, you know?
And that's also, like, because I'm playing, we're playing a show with, at Dominique's house, my friend Dominique, and that's, like, she moved back in with her mom for a little bit, and, like, we, in high school, we'd have house shows at her mom's house all the time, so it's kind of like a for old time's sake kind of thing. And I was like, figured I'd play one of the songs that I used to play all the time that I wrote there, and I was like, that song is, like, 10 years old now.
Wow.
And I don't know how to feel about that. That's crazy.
Yeah. I know. I'm sure, like, the older, you know, like, we get, like, when you know, all your past work gets older and older, it might, like, some of it might feel like it's an instant classic, like, and you just didn't know it at the time, but you play it 10 years later and you're like, wow, this actually, like, still kind of fits. Maybe I wouldn't necessarily write like that now, but, like, it still kind of fits me. But there's certainly stuff where I've, like, heard recordings of and stuff, and I'm like, I was in eighth grade.
You know? Exactly. You have there's, like, a couple. That's one thing that I really love about, like, going through, like, old recordings sometimes. Like, for me, it's like voice memos on my phone, and it's just like, this is a random, like, half written song that I can find, like, the final recorded on, like, Spotify now or anything, but it's just like, dang, interesting. And, like, it's interesting because I forget about half the ideas that I come up with, kind of thing. And, like, I just, I'm glad that I got into the practice of, like, I gotta record it, and then I'll, you know, figure it out from there if I like it. And then, you know, half of them I just forget about it, and they just live in my phone forever. And you know, sometimes I'll dig them up and turn them into something, but it's exciting because sometimes you're, it's nice on, like, days that you're having rough days on and stuff, you can kind of look back and be like, oh, this wasn't half bad. And honestly, like, you're like, oh, I'm kind of appreciating it right now 6 years on or something, like,
yeah, maybe even more than when you wrote it, you know, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. yeah, a different perspective or whatever,
yeah,
yeah,
just a different aspect, you know, avenue view on life kind of thing.
Yeah, I love that, like, mm-hmm. recycling material from yes. even like, it could be like a month ago and you could forget about it. I mean, mm-hmm. like, I don't know about you, but sometimes yeah. my attention span mm-hmm. can kind of go away for even stuff that we, like, you know, that I create or I create with, you know, a band or whatever, because sometimes you just turn out so much, mm-hmm. and a lot of it could be like shit, but a lot of it could be really good too. You just don't know it at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you dig it up later and it's like, wow, this actually like aligns more with like my sound now than then.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's like, I can't throw anything away. I'm such a hoarder, and because I'm like so nostalgic and I'm so addicted to that sort of concept, is like, you can find lots of treasure in your own freaking trash, man.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how old it is too, it's like the feelings still exist, you know, right. like the way you felt like making it and the way you feel now with, again, this sort of like older experience and whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've talked about it so much, but I'm like obsessed with that sort of, pause. Yeah. like taking things from the past.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that too. Even with stuff that you might not necessarily make into art, like your own art or things, mm-hmm. but it just could be like, I'm trying to think of a good, like photos, like people's yeah. photo, like mine. I'm like a photo hoarder. Like, I just mm-hmm. feel like I have like all these photos. I have like literally like thousands of photos that are all like on my cloud or whatever since mm-hmm. like
yeah.
2013.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do I need all those? No. But I.
But also yes.
Yeah, because of what you just said. Like, and I sometimes I actually do create things out of them, like mm-hmm. makeshift album covers, single oh, yeah. covers. It's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But usually it's more just for nostalgia's sake, and like, yeah. it could even be like. Like a horrible photo, like it's like mm-hmm. blurry or something, but you're like, oh, I actually remember that, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah,
so it's kind of cool. I like that too, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely with music though, I would recommend that to anyone listening. Yeah. Not that I'm some master, but I think that's really important, is mm-hmm. not to get down on yourself for most of your ideas and be like, oh, I don't like this a week later, I should just throw it out, because mm-hmm. you never know, you might actually like it a mm-hmm. year from then or mm-hmm. whatever. So
yeah, I think like one thing, like, and I guess one of the songs that I'm really proud of from, like, Maddie's Change, it took me, like, 2 years to write. And, like, the thing is, like, you can also take that, and I like this in songs, too, because, like, if you write, I've done this with, like, two songs, and I just love the concept where it was, like, basically, in this song, it, you know, I started writing it, I was in this relationship, and I was like, oh, there's problems, like, yada, yada. It was, like, kind of like a love song, like, despite everything, we're gonna make it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the relationship ended, I like forgot about the song, and I think it was weird. So it was like this song, and it was, I'll just, like, if you're interested in looking at it, it's We Aren't the Same off of our full length album. And so it started off like that first chorus, the first intro verse chorus, like exactly the same. That hasn't changed since I first wrote it, except for I think I changed it down a key, but still. But like it went from that, and then it went into like this weird easy core ending kind of thing. Because I was a weird phase of my life. Glad I wasn't in a band during that. It was a very like wannabe kind of thing. That was like a time where I was just trying to like mimic other, you know, sounds and stuff, as opposed to like creating my own kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Which is a good jumping off point. But I think the thing that I liked about that was then I dug that song up again after the relationship ended. And then the second half kind of just came in, like, supernaturally. And I was like, I'll just tweak it. So, like, the chorus is, like, almost the same, and just change, like, two words. And then it shows, like, a progression of a story of, like, this is where I was, this is where I am now kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, I feel like it adds depth. And, like, it turned into something, a sound that we were at that time.
Yeah.
And I also think that this was another point that I kind of wanted to, you know, circle back to as we started out, talking about earlier, was like just with like writing and stuff and like creating any kind of art, where you kind of like start off imitating and then you get to a point where you're like, I want to create my own. And then like I hit a point where I was like, I'm just rewriting the song, this is so close, I'm just ripping this artist off. Like, and I still do that a little bit from time to time. I'm like, this sounds, I like this sound, and that scares me because I think it just means that I just took the melody from another song or something.
Yeah.
And then just like added different words or something. But this was something that was really nice that I got from talking to Zane about, was he's like, yeah, if you find something that you like in a song, like rip it off. Like, but you can't like sit there and just like copy the song itself. But like, if you like listen to songs and like, oh, I like that chord progression, how that chord progression flowed, use it. Like,
yeah.
You can't copyright chord progressions. And also like, that's just kind of like the your inspiration being like, I like how this goes. What can I do with it? How can I add my twist kind of thing?
Yeah.
And so it's just like, that's been like a huge relief for me, because then I will kind of, you know, with newer songs and stuff, is like you can sometimes trace like a, it's very similar to this song. Like I was listening to this song all the time, this like nonstop for a day, and then I wrote a song that was like very clearly influenced by it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, but it's like, it's still its own song. Like it's, you know, it's not a Weird Al type of thing where I just took it and then like wrote my own goofy lyrics on top of it. But like, I have had that happen like once or twice where I like got into like, I was like, oh, I like this melody. And then I was like, wait, I like this because I already know it. But like, I mean, it's just, you know, art creates more art. And so I think that's the thing, is like, it's easy to get whole, you know, hung up on, I'm just copying this person's like, to an extent, but I would argue that you're not copying them. You're using them as a foundation to jump off on. And so it's always like, art's always evolving. So like,
yeah,
you're always going to study different artists so that you can, you know, do other things. And like, I hit a wall definitely this year, earlier this year, late last year, where I was like not writing anything. And then it was just kind of I felt like I just had no new ideas and everything, and I just didn't know where to start. And then I think I was watching like some masterclass video by like Saint Vincent, who's an artist I'd never, you know, really listened to. And then I, you know, just like, fuck it, I'll just try this and see what happens. And then one thing she brought up was like, do you like that song? Cover it. Learn how to play it, and then you can like see the ins and outs of it and understand what you like about it. Why does it speak to you? Is it just like the emotional content? Is it like how the song sounds? Is it the flow? Is it the key?
Yeah.
Because then you can modulate it and you can add your own twist on it to cover it and make it your own. And then you can also kind of take bits and pieces of that and put it into your own song.
Yeah.
And so that, like, it felt like freeing, and it like almost like dislodged me. So
nice.
It was just, you know, it's easy to get hung up on those things, but
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a great songwriting tool. Mm-hmm. She's awesome, by the way.
She's super cool. Yeah.
She's like one of the best like modern guitarists, I would say. She's so creative.
Oh, absolutely.
Very edgy.
Yes.
She is. Yeah. She's really good. Especially your earlier stuff. It's so cool. But, yeah, I think it's good. Like, yeah, you could take like a guitar riff, for example, and, oh, I really like the melody, you know, but maybe there's one thing I could twist on it. You know, you could even keep it, stay in the same key.
Yeah.
Keep all the notes even the exact same, but as maybe just change like the rhythm up a bit. And it's honestly like your own at that point. Like people don't own like a guitar melody or vocal melody, you know, or vice versa. You could like, I don't know, you could take the exact same rhythm of like your favorite riff, but then just change like the notes.
Yeah.
You know, move it up a key, just something so it makes it like yours. And people, like a listener wouldn't be like, oh, isn't that like, you know, isn't that this song? Which is, I mean, sometimes that's inevitable. That's fine too. But if you can avoid that at all, sometimes it's as easy as just like, I'm just going to change this one aspect of this. Obviously, just as a drummer too, like this happens a lot, because like basically every beat ever has been used. So it's more like, how can I combine my favorite said beats or fills or whatever, rhythms, I don't know, and create my own feel with it, you know, or change the time signature, change like the different drums you're actually playing on, you know. All those things are really helpful, because at the end of the day, you know, it sounds so pessimistic, but it's just like everything's been like done before, kind of. But that's something's kind of cool about that, because it's like the only way that new stuff can get made is like by being inspired by some other thing, you know. I think that's cool. I don't know, I think some people get really caught up, unfortunately, in trying to make something perfectly original, but I just don't think that exists, you know. Like even if it's like something really striking and it feels brand new, even those artists, visual artists, musicians, whatever, they're pulling from something. I mean, that, you know, it's not like their ears have been shut off their whole life and all of a sudden I can hear and I know how to play this instrument, I'm just gonna make something. Like I've never heard music before, you know. So I think obviously there's people like that who are kind of snobs about it. Like I'm just like elevated like artist. There's like those kind of people. But I think there's also a lot of artists who, again, no matter what medium, where like it's almost like their own kind of curse. Like they're genuinely just like really trying to make something original and new that it makes them happy. But they get too like, they're almost like too nitpicky about their own art, because they're just like, I've heard it before. But it's like, it's okay if you've, you know, that's okay, honestly. Like as long as it feels good and that's like your own thing. And you're not like straight up copywriting lyrics or something, whatever. Then that's, I would say that's yours. I mean, you know, I think some of the best art's always you know, like that saying, like, life imitates art or whatever, mm-hmm. or yeah. vice versa. This, I always just like to think, like, art imitates art, you know?
Yeah.
just
honestly, like, yeah. No, yeah. 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 Art imitates art. That's good.
Yeah.
Especially because it's like, sorry, it went away. That's it.
It's all good. That happens to me so much.
I had it. It's gone. I'm sorry. Okay. But it's, I know there is this concept that was, that it's not a new concept, but, it really spoke to me when I was younger. It's like, once you release this pressure of knowing that, yeah, everything's been done before. And this sort of like quote that's like, goes along the lines of like, nothing about me is unique. I am like a combination of everything I've ever seen, met, like felt, mm-hmm. you yeah. know? Yeah, again, nothing happens in a vacuum.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, I just think it's so important with artists because mm-hmm. I think of any, like, I don't know, I just think artists, unfortunately, have a lot of, like, it's such a blessing, if you will, or whatever, like, a gift that you can be an artist at all. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's cool. Like, a lot of people wish they could, I would say anyone could be an artist. I'm just saying, like, artists that are really good at what they do and mm-hmm. that they can do that maybe even for a living, et cetera, like, that's definitely like something to be grateful for, you know, because mm-hmm. a lot of people wish they could do that, or wish they had the avenue to express their own mm-hmm. art, artistic expression, that kind of thing. Yeah. But I would say that for a lot of artists, there's like the flip side where it's like the better you get, sometimes it's like the more critical you get, because it's like you're always trying to one up your last project.
And, oh yeah.
The, like, there's also another saying which I'm forgetting, but this applies for musicians like totally, but kind of like, you know, the beginner. Everything just seems like brand new and exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like you could play like two chords and like just the easiest, like simple melody ever, like whatever, you know, like everything's mm-hmm. just really simple. But for them, that might be like, just like they just struck gold, you know?
Yeah.
But for like the expert, like it's almost like they're at this level of expertise that it's maybe not that exciting anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they're always trying to like make the next best thing. But it's like, sometimes you're probably going to hit like a ceiling at some point if you don't start like just giving yourself some like artistic space instead mm-hmm. of just like, how can I make the next thing like this crazy new and exciting and blow people's socks off? It's like, sometimes you just got to like, you got to know your limit and mm-hmm. stick with what you're good at, you know, or what you want to do. Like mm-hmm. you could be mm-hmm. like the best guitarist in the world, but that's totally fine if you just write like simple pop songs or something.
Yeah, you don't always have to be the best. You can just like chill and make your thing.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's funny because like I feel like I've actually played with people like, unfortunately, like that, where they're really good, like they're just so technically good mm-hmm. at their instrument, but like when it comes to writing in a room with them, it's really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even like poking at like fun at them or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's more just like sometimes I feel bad because I think luckily I've been able to kind of let myself not self-critique so much.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I haven't before, but I just
yeah.
I always feel bad because I'm just like, you just gotta like let go of all this pressure that you're putting on yourself to make like mm-hmm. the next best thing. Like just write what you feel.
Yeah, yeah, like, oh, it's not good enough, but like, but are you vibing, you know? Like,
yeah, it's, I think, I honestly think it's all about like vibing and mm-hmm. like the mood that it brings for you and mm-hmm. things like that. Like St. Vincent.
Yeah.
Like her newer records and stuff. She doesn't, like, as far as I know, play as much, like, insane, like, kind of angular guitar stuff. But, like, it's still really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she probably knows she's, like, really good. Like, how can you not? But she's not, like, trying to, like, one-up herself every album.
Yeah.
She's just making, like, what she genuinely wants to make, I think. Yeah. So that's refreshing
mm-hmm.
to hear something like that in, like, a masterclass video.
Yeah.
Because I've actually never, like, watched any of those masterclass videos.
I was just curious, and I was just like, you know, what's the worst that can happen? Like, I get a little more inspired. Like,
right.
I don't learn anything like super new, but like it was great. Like, honestly, like you know, it depends on how much you're willing to spend or anything, but like it was very nice to just kind of, it opens the door to get insight into, you know, maybe like I knew like nothing about her, but it was just like a songwriting like course thing, and I was like, yeah, I'll try it out and see what happens. And like, just getting a different person's perspective is just so fascinating to me, and like that's, you know, a huge part of like this podcast and why it's like exciting to me, is just kind of getting different like perspectives on how you approach art, how it like affects you, how it inspires you, kind of thing.
Yeah,
because like specifically with songwriting, I find it fascinating because there's no set way, and like there's like a lot of similarities and stuff, but like And that was one thing that was really nice. Like, I don't know if I'm excited. I'm interested to know what your experience was writing in like Rain in July and your new project, which, can you remind me the name of your new project?
Well, we've been going back and forth.
Okay.
Kind of on a new name. So I'll let you know.
Okay.
Probably soon enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah.
But yeah, with Rain in July, I think it's cool because every band I've been in, even since middle school or whatever, they're all kind of unique setups because of the people you're playing with. Even if you have like overlap with some of like my friend Mike, like I've played in a lot of bands with him.
Mm-hmm.
But like he and I don't write the exact same in each project because we're getting older and developing skills and tastes and all this stuff. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. But yeah, Rain in July was really, really fun. I think I knew Griffin. I think I met him actually in like fifth grade at like some, like my friend's like birthday sleepover party or something like that. And then I didn't talk to him for like at least like 5 years. And then we reconnected in high school. I forgot. I bet he remembers, but I actually forgot the exact reason how I met him. But I met Riley Ng, who was, he played bass and guitar and lots of stuff in Rain in July. Because he was in jazz band with me, and he's a really good drummer too. Mm-hmm. So we were both like the jazz band drummers.
So
he went to El Dorado, so I didn't know him like as long as Griffin, but I kind of met him and started to befriend him and stuff. I think he was the one who connected with Griffin. And he was like, I probably just in like the drama hall or something, because Griffin was in choir and I know he wanted to like sing with the band again because he had a few times before. So I think that's how it happened, but I think they connected. And he's like, do you know Griffin Toby? It's like, yeah, actually, I do. He's like, yeah, I think he wants to, like, sing in, like, at the time, we wanted to be, like, a more metalcore kind of thing.
Okay,
That all meets right. punk kind of thing. But and he's like, yeah, would you be down? I'm like, yeah, I haven't talked to him in, like, years, you know? And then Riley met Yuta Young, because he's younger than us, so he was never in many of my classes. But I had quit hockey at that point, because I played competitive freshman year, but they kept going, and so they met through Boulder Hockey or something. And he was like, yeah, there's this like, we were juniors, and he's like, there's this freshman who's really good at guitar and he plays hockey with me, and he was wondering if he could jam with us. I was like, sure, yeah. I don't know Yuta, but and he's like the coolest guy, you know. So I think it all just kind of came together, like we all ended up being really good friends, and it's kind of cool how I met each of them very differently, but it all just kind of worked out. And then we played in a room together again. At the time, wasn't pop punk yet, but it just felt really good, and I was like, wow, like I kind of want to keep going with this. So eventually it turned into Rain in July a couple years later. And it just, at that point, it like, this is like basically the start of 2016. All of a sudden it was just us four, and we I don't think we were writing Knockout yet, but we were like getting to that point. We were starting to try and write together rather than just mostly playing, and stuff we'd written before was certainly heavier and whatever, so we wanted to kind of make a more pop focused punk project.
Yeah,
and it just worked so well. I think it really came together. You know, when you just sometimes you just like kind of strike gold with like the people you're playing with, you're like,
yeah,
this fits, like stuff before that was fun, but like this really fits, you know. I think that's what happened, and so then we kept going and going. And I think what I realized songwriting wise with that band was that like it's okay to just jam. Like you don't have to, like we would try a lot and sometimes it'd work out, but you don't have to come to every practice and be like, I have this part A section, or I have like a new riff, or Griffin has a new like stanza of lyrics or something, which sometimes we would do that. But the best times are we just come to a rehearsal and we're like, you know, your head's kind of hurting from rehearsing other songs, your covers or songs you've been writing, and you're like, let's just jam.
Yeah.
You know, and just see what happens. And sometimes it's like the best riffs come out of that, or the best, like my favorite beats come out of that. It's like, oh, wait, let's stick on that and like create something off that. And then Griffin was really good at coming up with lyrics and certainly melodies on the spot, and then he'd go home and like revise them later and stuff. So that's kind of how we started doing things moving forward. I think Knockout was a little more like thought through, but I remember like the other songs on the EP, like Last September and Breathe and stuff, those were almost literally like where we just like go home, come with a few ideas, and we just jam together, and then if they work together while we're playing, keep that, you know, like, oh, let's write off that, and it would just like work. It was really fun. I think unfortunately what happened was like, you know, tastes were changing. Eventually we moved on. It was totally fine. But I think that formula didn't really work anymore. And it's funny because ever since I've played with other people, and sometimes it really works, like straight up, you're almost just playing like jam band music, you know, it's very different. Or sometimes it doesn't work at all, which is fine. It's not even like, doesn't mean they don't have any talent, but sometimes you play with a group of people and you try and like jam And it's like kind of awkward. It's just mm-hmm. like, okay, we should just like sit down and write, like at a table or, you know,
yeah.
And that's fine too. I mean, that's, mm. that's really fun too. But I think Green and July was really fun because it kind of just worked almost yeah. like magic sometimes. But yeah.
yeah. Yeah. That's like very similar to like my experience with like Maddie's Change. Was like, started off as like a joke. They just played it as like a, played the show at like a New Year's Eve party. I wasn't even in town. And then Connor handpicked like Nate and Lucas and was like, oh, I'll just invite Patrick to come jam. And then we played covers and played old songs from Connor and I's old band and stuff. And then next thing you know, it was just like, oh, we wrote a whole bunch of stuff. Like, let's just try and like kind of, we kind of took like old songs and we wrote one or two songs, I think. Yeah, we wrote, it's like the very first EP released was like three older songs, kind of more from like Connor and I's old band, which is why we called the EP Houston's Problem. That was the old band's name.
All right.
And then it was one song that we all wrote together about one of their friends passing away, unfortunately. And then from there, we kind of, it just stuck. And then like same kind of thing, like our two favorite songs that we basically say like they're objectively the best songs we've ever written kind of started from like the jam situation where it was just so like collaborative, because there were plenty of songs that I'm interested, like, did you guys have like, there was some times when I came in with basically like the chord progression, kind of like a riff, and then like basically like a whole song written, and I just had to fill out like the bass part and the drum part or something kind of like that. Yeah. And sometimes Connor would do the exact same thing. Sometimes Nate would do pretty much the same thing, and then we just kind of flesh out these songs that were already written.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But then like the ones that felt the best were where it was like I came in with like a riff, or like with the song that we used for the outro. Like literally that song went through so many iterations, and it was, what was it? Because it came in like Nate came in with like that bass line, just that intro line, and I tried writing something over it for so long, and we just kind of jammed it. And it basically just sounded like a song where we're just like, we want to be the police. and then finally it just, yeah, it just kept coming out. I was like, I'm not happy with that. And then all of a sudden it just clicked. And then the song was written like borderline immediately. We just didn't have lyrics. And then fucking Connor came up with the melody for that. He sang, and this is the dumbest, this is how the song got named. It's, and he's like, it was just throwaway lyrics. He's like, woke up this morning, got out of bed, went into the kitchen and made myself a loaf of bread. And then the song was called Bedward, and we had no choice. Like, sorry, guys.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
It's just like those collaborative efforts, when it's like so truly collaborative like that, those, like, we felt like, and also like with, you know, like the Spotify numbers and stuff speak to those songs specifically too. And I think it's just that it's the most authentic yeah. kind of thing. Like you said, that formula is like, we managed to throw the right ingredients in, and then like the formula worked out for like these songs like perfectly. And
yeah,
you know, that's kind of just chance and just where everyone's at in life.
Totally.
And that's the magic thing about being in a band. Like,
yeah, I know, if it just clicks,
yeah,
like the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
For any, for, you know, for mm-hmm. like any kind of artist too, just like any group situation, collaborative effort,
yeah,
that's just the best feeling when it really mm-hmm. works, like
yeah.
and you feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm digging at Rain in July, but I promise I'm not if
yeah.
y'all are listening.
Yeah.
So at the very end of Rain in July, again, no hard feelings at all, but it was just kind of like
mm-hmm.
things were changing.
Yeah.
We had so, I mean, just like a stupid amount of meetings and conversations and stuff about
mm-hmm.
where do we go next, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I remember we released Beachside and had that music video. It was really fun, but
mm-hmm.
it still felt very like our 2017 sound. And it was, this
yeah.
is like halfway through 2018 before we ended things, and it was just like, where do we want to go next, you know? And
mm-hmm.
we all, I mean, I still love pop punk music, and we still wanted to
mm-hmm.
keep the integral sound. We didn't want to just completely do a 180, but it was
yeah.
like, it's just not working anymore. And we
mm-hmm.
tried, we wrote a lot, we actually wrote like a lot of songs, sometimes complete, a lot of them are just like ideas on our phones,
yeah,
because it wouldn't look like that on our Spotify. It's like, oh, they only had 5 songs, like
yeah.
we had like 30,
yeah.
But they never worked out. Because it's more just like
mm-hmm.
when we did still try to do that collaborative get
yeah.
in a room and jam effort, it just didn't work anymore, because
mm-hmm.
clearly we all wanted to go
different
direction.
Yeah.
And it was like,
yeah,
oh man, you know. And so you know, Riley, I think of us four, definitely wanted to go like, you know, in certainly a heavier direction.
Mm-hmm.
And Yudo, I'd say, wanted to go like the most pop, so it was just
mm-hmm.
like kind of this divide.
Yeah.
And Griffin and I are, I guess, somewhere in between. And so, unfortunately, it just kind of, I remember we just had a talk and Riley was like, I think I just need to, like, do my own thing now. And it was totally fine. And so that's how Pacific Nerve came to be.
Yeah.
Because Yuta, Griff, and I eventually, after like a few months of just meeting and stuff and trying to figure things out, we're like, actually, maybe we should go like poppier and keep some of our punk like vibes, if you will, but like make something kind of more new and authentic to like what we are making now. Like, I think forcing the kind of like the early 2000s Fall Out Boy All Time Low sound, it just wasn't working for us anymore. Not to dumb down our music, but like that was definitely a big influence on us. That kind of sound. And so, funny story, I remember when we were writing, certainly our Spotify numbers don't show, but I would say like fan-wise, our biggest single for Pacific Nerve called Bliss. That was actually our first song we ever wrote together, because we all gone to, or second, but the first song we still thought we'd be writing in July, and we're like, okay, we need to actually like just end that chapter, make a new project. So as Pacific Nerve, our first song Bliss, I remember it was like, we were like poking fun at stuff, actually. It's kind of funny you were talking about the Mad Exchange thing, like just not taking things really seriously, and just being like, let's just jam again, like we used to do, like the good old days where it worked, and just see what we make. And so, you know, I forgot why, but Yuta and I were like kind of making fun of a lot of like alt pop stuff, like like the 1975 or all these bands that are really popular now, like that 80s nostalgia sound meets like pop rock, basically. And so he came up with that riff, like the you know, and I was like, we were kind of making fun of it, and I was like, oh, I'll make a beat to that and stuff. And then Griffin started making melody. I was like, you know, as much of a joke as that was, that sounded pretty cool.
That's actually,
So we stuck with it, and we kept writing. It was like, it actually felt good rather than like we're trying to sound like the 1975 or whatever band. And it's just kind of like a, like, okay, we're just trying to be like a ripoff project. Kind of, it actually felt like, wow, like I kind of want to write this kind of stuff. And so then that worked out for a couple of years, and, sometimes I kind of wish we could have kept going, but Griffin got married. Congrats. Congrats, buddy. And his, you know, wife, Morgan, she, she's going to grad school out in Oklahoma. So, of course, naturally, he moved out there with her. So, it just was time to call it quits. And the pandemic and everything.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Makes it difficult.
Right. It's like getting a room again. It's like, oh, man, you know, so... But anyway, I love how every project usually has like a different kind of vibe and songwriting approach. I don't really like prefer one over the other. I thought they were both really like fun, and I had a good time. And I feel like every songwriting experience, you usually like learn something from it, even about how you write things. And in my current project, I write differently even than like a year ago. I've been playing more around with, because I live in an apartment now with my girlfriend, and can't have drums there, so I'm playing more like bass and stuff, because that's kind of my second instrument. And it's been a really fun kind of melodic avenue, just because drums don't have any, you know, melody necessarily. It's been really fun, because I feel like it's almost like opening my mind to different songwriting approaches, because usually I would just focus on drums, and then when we're all in a room together, then I can help, because I know enough theory and all that stuff where I can kind of help like write a melody or chord progression and stuff, but I don't know how to, like, I can't play guitar or piano that well enough to kind of like jam. So it's been really fun, actually, just like where all of a sudden things are kind of stripped back, and it's like, okay, pandemic, like you're living in an apartment now, no drums, no band, like how are you gonna keep writing songs? And so I think if anything, it's kind of helped me like develop more songwriting approaches, and in a different way. And in this case, it's just more for being kind of isolated and playing a different instrument that I'm not used to, you know. Again, the whole beginner's approach, like for me, like every riff I make is pretty cool, you know. But maybe some expert bassist would be like, oh, that's derivative, you know, or something like that.
I mean, I think that goes back to like exactly what you're saying with like the expert, like you get to a point where you almost like reach a ceiling and it's not exciting. And I think, you know, that's something that I found pretty freeing, especially like in the past like month with my songwriting, is like I haven't been like super happy with a lot of stuff, but then all of a sudden I've written like four or five songs that just like come out like all within an hour, and I'm like, oh, okay. And it's awesome. And I think like half of it is just that, you know, I get into a mood, and I, you know, it's just like you know, just playing around on guitar or something, and then all of a sudden it's like, it's none of them are complicated, like they're all super simple kind of things, and it's just kind of, but the experience of writing it and like playing them, I like, I really enjoy them. It's not like a forcing, it's like, yeah, one of the songs has literally three chords in it, and that's it. There's nothing super exciting about it, but like it's still, it's just, I think also part of what was exciting about that song specifically is, like, I was, you know, in kind of a very exciting, interesting situation in that moment, because I was out on, like, a trip in the back of my car. I had a big bug bite that I didn't know if it was bad or not.
Oh, dang.
I was trying to sleep in my tent, and then tent got blown over. It's like, I'm sleeping in the car in this thunderstorm.
Oh.
And I just had, like, my little backpacker guitar and just wrote a song. And I was like, honestly, this is, I've had a great week, and
yeah,
I'm, you know, excited to get texts again, as opposed to, that was like the point of that trip was to just, like, not get communication from work kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it was just like a combination of, like, you know, on a normal basis, everything would be going wrong. But honestly, like, I'm in a really fucking cool place out in Gunnison.
Yeah.
There's, like, a wild thunderstorm going on, and I get to hang out in my car, and
right,
I'm all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it turned out. And it's just kind of like, you know, it didn't have to be complicated. It was just kind of, and, like, every time I play it still, like, it's just, like, it takes me back to, like, that moment kind of thing. I'm like, and, like, that's what it's about, is, like, you can sit there and show off your skills and, like, use that to flourish things and, like, elevate certain aspects, but, like, at the end of the day, it's an expression. It, like, you know,
yeah,
it takes you back to a certain feeling or a certain place kind of thing. So
definitely talk about a creative space.
Yeah,
that's so cool. Out, like, Gunnison, that's I actually haven't been, like, in Gunnison proper, but that part of Colorado is so, like, barren in such a beautiful way, like, really wild.
Yeah.
It's like no one, like, I just remember driving, like, I forgot what highway I was going to the sand dunes, which was really cool too.
Yeah.
And to get there, you can either take, like, you know, I-25 all the way down and then go, you know, west. But I was like, let's take, like, the 1 hour longer mountain route.
Yeah.
And it was so worth it, because I feel like I got to experience more towns and stuff, like Buena Vista and stuff is, like, such a beautiful place. You're just crazy mountain valley.
Yeah.
And I actually really like, because I grew up in Louisville, actually, and I love being, like, a suburban slash urban, like, I like living in a city area, so I don't think I could ever live in, like, a Buena Vista or something, or things that are just, you know, population's really small, and it's mostly just huge, like, wide open spaces and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's something so, like, beautiful about that. At least for me, like, a lot of songwriting can come from, like, where you are, simply.
Yeah.
Just, like, you can get inspiration from being in a new place or meeting new people or whatever. And as much as I love Louisville, you know, I just can't get a lot. I don't get as creative, like, right here, because this is basically where I've lived my whole life. So, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I've, like, written everything almost, like, right here. So whenever I go to a new place, all of a sudden it's, like, you get, like, a spark of, like, creative, like, I don't know, juices or something. And I can imagine being out there. You know, that probably is pretty inspiring. I almost wish I had, like, a little, like, Packer instrument, even like a drum or something. I should have taken on that trip.
Just like a little set of bongos.
Something.
Yeah.
A little djembe.
That too. Like a cajon or something. It's pretty cool. I think songwriting is such an awesome topic, because it's almost, like, endless, because there is no formula. Even if people try to make working formulas, which is cool, but I think, like, for every single person, it's different. And so that's kind of when the magic happens, because you never know what to expect. You know, if everyone had the same formula, it'd all sound the same. Just maybe, like, this genre or that genre, but it all sound, like, the same, you know? But I like that everyone can have, like, a different approach, and that you can write a song in your bedroom, or you can write a song, like, before your show or something, or like out in the middle of nowhere, almost, like, in the Madison area. Something like that. So that's kind of cool.
But yeah, like, art can take, you know, you can sit down and you can write a song in 5 minutes or, like, 3 years.
Yeah,
I've done both. Like, you never know. It's just however it approaches, like, comes to you. Like, I'd imagine the same thing with, like, you know, you can, you know, draw a sketch in, like, 2 minutes, and then all of a sudden you're like, this is worth more than a sketch. Or you can have like a piece, like you've talked about having a piece that you've worked on for, like, a long time.
Fucking shit.
Yeah, I want to hear more about, like, the visual art side. Or even just something like that, like a project that takes, like, maybe even years. Like, how does that come to be?
Well, some things just take a while, and you just got to sit there and look at it for a long time and meditate upon it. Because, like, there's things that just sort of, like, happen instantaneously, and you're like, oh, there's a piece of art. Great. Okay, that's done. That was nice. And then there's just, like, things that I think are worthwhile to I just said meditate on, but like really like use it as a way to study and like be like, okay, what can I do with this? How can I push this? I'm going to keep working on this. Like, what else can I do with this? Like, I can imagine, like, again, just making art is sort of similar when you have some, like, you have this thing that exists and you just sort of tweak it kind of endlessly.
Yeah.
And it could just take, it could take, you know, 20 minutes. It could take like a full week. It could take 12 months. God, I'm going to finish that painting eventually. Fuck it. But yeah, no. Yeah. But I love the idea of like things sort of like appearing as inspiration. Like honestly, like being in the back of your Subaru writing a song in the middle of a thunderstorm, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, and sometimes it's just like, I don't know, the vibe hits and you're like, I'm just gonna make art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it works out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something so cool about that. Yeah. I'm sure for visual art too, it's just very different. Music, like they all kind of have their own like different mm-hmm. approaches, and I'm just not as familiar with visual art, so that's kind of cool to hear.
Yeah.
But I think about like you guys trying to, it's, I remember this quote. It's like, oh, like artists paint on like canvas and paper or whatever, and like musicians like write on silence. And ooh. I just fucking love
God,
that.
That's ooh. Profound as fuck.
Yeah. I know. Wow, you gotta like pull that out of this podcast.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, dang, that's cool.
Whoa. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
That's why like you guys making music is so fascinating to me, because you're just like sitting there and it's like, all right, suddenly music, like
right,
that's crazy.
Right. That's so cool. The same with a visual art too, like drawing or painting or, you know, sculpting, whatever. Like, how does that come to be? There's lots of different things,
yeah.
I'm sure. But
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's the same for you, like in a similar way. Like sometimes like I really have to like think about it in my brain and like, what do I want to create? And then sometimes I look at a piece of paper and I see it.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Oh, that's that doesn't cool. happen very often, but when it does, I'm like, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Thank you, brain.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's like, this is kind of like similar. Like we talked to Jadrian and he talked about how like nature can just kind of be mm-hmm. like, you can argue that it's kind of like the original inspiration for art kind of thing or whatever. I don't
love
know
you,
if
Mother
that's
nature.
Exactly what we
Sorry,
talked
we're killing
about.
You. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I like, that's like, I go out and like, that's one thing that's been exciting is like, now I guess I got to climb all the 14ers in Colorado because
yeah.
I'm like halfway there now or something.
Well,
hell
done.
Yeah.
I'm okay. like getting there, and it's just like, it. That's one thing that like, I was watching like a, just a video on like looking up, researching a trail, and it's like, which ones, like I think, well, I was down in Telluride area and I was going to try doing these two, and it was like a great traverse, and I was like, I remember like pulling into like a gas station parking lot and like watching a video and being like, I don't think I'm ready to do this, because then I watched this guy's video and he's like, yeah, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And I was like, not yet.
Oh man.
Probably not yet.
Good to know.
And then I changed my mind to do something else. But like one thing that he brought up too was just like, you know, setting a goal for like doing that kind of thing is like, those 14ers are all over the state, and like, it's like already it's brought me to different parts of the state that I wouldn't go out of my way originally to just go see. Like Ouray is straight up not real. Like there's no way there's a town like just that pretty. Like the fuck, like
I've seen it, yeah.
I was in there and I was like, what? No. Kind of thing. And just like, and from there you just, it just like, I don't know if it just like inspires, like reinvigorates your appreciation of life, and then you can kind of like share and express that through art in a new way, and it kind of gets you excited. Because like I've gotten to like some sort of like, oh, I just don't even know if I want to do music anymore. Like after Maddie's changed, like that last show, like I, one of my favorite shows of all time, but at the same time, like my pedal board got stolen and stuff, and like I was like, I had a whole bunch of other stuff going on with like my personal life, and it's just like everything is just not going well right now.
Oh.
And it's not where I wanted to be, and it's like, you know, I haven't really made a splash or anything with like music or anything so far. Like what's the point at this point? Like I've thrown so much money in it, and it's just like it walked away basically, and it's like, what's the point? But then you just have like moments and you're just like, no, like there's a reason why I make art, why I participate in art, and why I fell in love with it in the first place and stuff. And you know, sometimes it takes going to get stuck in a thunderstorm in a car to discover like your love for like your medium kind of thing. And sometimes it's something wild like that that just kind of sends you back into what you want to do. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's so many things like that you haven't like seen or experienced yet, and mm-hmm. so many things you haven't made yet that like are still to happen, and you got to have faith that you're still going to make something, man. You're still going to find something new. You're still going to end up in like a random beautiful town that you've never heard of or seen before, or like take the scenic route and like experience something that you didn't even think was like on the other side of I-25, right?
Right.
And then there's just like songs or art that's just that you just haven't made yet, and then it'll happen. You just gotta like have faith that you'll experience something new.
Yeah.
It's like we were talking like everything's been done, and it's like that's true, but it hasn't happened for you yet. So.
Totally. There's so much of the world to see, and that's such a huge inspiration for any kind of art. As we're talking about nature or civilization, I guess you'd say, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just like anything new, really, in your life can be inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not done yet.
Yeah. Right.
There's still something to see.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's funny because, like, I've lived here my whole life and stuff, and
there's
so much of the state I haven't seen still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm only finally diving in a little bit, but it's usually, like, more if I'm, like, trying to get to point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I try to, like, okay, is an hour more of my life really, like, not worth it? Because I could see all this beautiful stuff rather than, like, I'm seeing I-25. Not that there's lots of cool, views too, but.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with the Front Range. Like, I know what that looks like. But going, like, in the West Slope and stuff, it's like, wow, I can't believe this is the same state, almost. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, Gunnison, I'm sure. I really want to go there.
Gunnison, Telluride, Ouray, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Crested Butte. What?
Yeah, most people, it's, like, the prettiest place, or at least, like, mountain area in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Never been.
Yeah. And, like, same thing, like, I was thinking, like, everybody's heard of Aspen. How many times have you been to Aspen?
I just went for the first time, finally, like, in April.
Right?
Yeah.
How many times have you been to Aspen?
I've driven through it a couple times.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's... like, I'm not sure I'd ever been before last year. I feel like I might have been, like, once when I was a kid, but I don't remember. And, like, we went out and we climbed La Plata, and then that was off of Independence Pass, and it was, like, October, and we're 20 miles from Aspen. We want to just drive down Independence Pass, and it was, like, when all the leaves were changing color, and it was, like,
that's the last time I was in Aspen, and I lost my freaking mind.
Oh, that's so cool.
God.
It was beautiful, and it was like, God damn, what?
I know, I feel like I had, like, a unique and maybe not as, like, pretty experience going to Aspen. Mm-hmm. It was awesome, but I went in April, which is, like, that's, like, the month that they say don't go.
Oh, really?
That's why we kind of wanted to go, because I had some vacation time, and, like, just for even, like, a weekender, and I was like, hey, like, let's do this. But it's like they call it the mud season for a reason.
Oh,
It's pretty muddy and like and I don't mind that at all, but it's more just like in the trees, like all the aspens, there's so many, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
They just look like skeletons because they still don't, they're like not like they're about to bud up like with some leaves, but not quite, so they still just all look like these really like barren skeletons. But it's also like warm enough now, it's not like February where there's a lot of snow, so it almost like looks like really late spring, early summer, but it feels more like late winter. It's really weird.
Spooky.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's
like
a very eerie, kind of like in a beautiful way kind of thing. I like that.
Yeah, and there's a lot. I mean, because we met a couple of these old guys at the base of the ski, like the lift or whatever.
Nice.
He could tell we were like not, because we're kind of wandering around. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, where are you? Like, are you guys from out of town or whatever? And it's like, yeah, we're from Boulder. And he's like, oh, nice. You're going to like it here. He's like, but he's like, there's just not a lot of people or like tourists. He said, like, I'm a local, but he was like, you know, it looks pretty dead, but he said usually if you come in, like, in the fall with all the yellow aspen leaves, or, like, even in the winter for the ski season, he says way more people.
Yeah.
But he's like, you actually kind of came at a cool time because you could, like, walk around the whole town, like, twice without running into that many people, you know? And he was right, because it was definitely, like, kind of dead, you know? Unfortunately, some things were, like, too dead, where it was like, oh, I wanted to go to that restaurant, but they're closed for, like, the month, because they don't, you know, they probably
the off-season.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. anyway... But yeah, even just things like that, like, was pretty inspiring, because it's like, wow, I'm in a completely new place.
Yeah.
It was, like, really exciting. So.
Yeah. I think that just, like, especially when, like, I hit, like, a rut or anything, like, doing those kind of experiences is, like, I'm a little bit upset at myself for, like, waiting so long in my life to just start doing those kind of things. But at the same time, it's just, like, that's all the things I haven't seen in my state. And then, you know, all the things you haven't seen in, like, the country. And then there's the entire goddamn world. Like,
yeah.
There's... It just kind of, like, reinvigorates, like, a sense of hope, and it's, for me at least, it's just, like, you know, no matter how bad things get, like, the world is a beautiful place, and kind of, like, it's worth putting any kind of effort into whatever you want to do to see it and experience it and, you know. experience it your way. So, and like art's kind of how we chose it. And so it's just a, you know, adding a different unique lens to the world. So
yeah,
it's
definitely
kind of exciting.
Yeah. Totally. Like your projects might end. You and your bandmates might grow apart. You might move on to different things, but there's so many more things to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be that exciting if it were like you knew that this project was like your last thing.
Yeah.
It'd be just like a big bummer, you know? But the cool thing is that if you, yeah, like what you said, that there's always going to be like the next thing. You just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
That's kind of exciting. I think a lot of people dread that,
mm-hmm.
like not knowing. But for me, it's like, isn't that the point of like, everything,
yeah,
like not knowing the next step, like that's kind of exciting. If
step into
everything.
The unknown, bitch.
Yeah, like that, right?
There we go
with that. Yeah,
we got the episode title.
That's awesome.
Oh man, oh my gosh.
Yeah, how do you guys come up with your episode titles? It's just like
it's kind of based on what we talk about. Like I try and make it as goofy as possible, to an extent, kind of thing.
Yeah,
except for like our every 5 when we have our deep dives, or every 10 when we have our. Our challenge episodes.
LOL.
Our 10-minute episodes.
I'm sorry.
If we can make it that far.
Nice.
Yeah. That's cool. We do it so that, like, every 10 episodes. We were really nervous about not having enough people being interested to be on the podcast, but, like, that has not been a problem, like, even in the slightest. So we set it up so it'd be, like, 4 episodes with a guest, and then there'd be one that would be just the two of us.
Yeah.
And so we decided we'd switch it up so, like, there'd be every episode that ends in a 5 is going to be like a deep dive, and every like I guess 10 episodes like that, a 0 episode would be a challenge episode where we just kind of talk, and then once one of us cusses the episode ends.
That's awesome. Oh my god,
so
we have not made it to
we've got
10
a great,
minutes
we've
like
not,
at all.
We've got a solid track record so far.
It's 10 minutes, like, is that the longest?
That's the longest so far. I'm pretty sure we've
that's
had
awesome.
2.
I just start zoning. I just go, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's definitely my, like, most said cuss word. Probably,
yeah.
Just because of stuff like that. Like, oh, shit, you know?
I think, like, literally on the first one, we released more than what we should have, because I think my cousin went through, she's like, yeah, you guys missed one.
Boy.
Oh, man.
Oh, my god. But,
that's awesome.
I mean, it's been super cool because, like, you get, like, a new invigorating experience and, like, a new lens to look at, like, different mediums. And, like, it's been exciting to, you know, talk to, like, musicians. Like, now that I feel like we're kind of starting to tap into more of, like, musicians I've gotten to, like, work with and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to just, like, flood it with just, like, here's, like, the Denver local music scene from 2018.
Yeah.
And that's
oh, hey.
Yeah, totally.
So it's been exciting to talk to people, like, Sarah makes YouTube videos that have blown up. Cameron's done like a lot of design. Faith
mm-hmm.
was, you know, she's kind of beginning to do more music stuff as opposed to just be someone who, like a fan, someone who, like a concert goer, which is super exciting. And I'm super excited to see her grow as a musician because she's got such a fucking awesome voice.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then like got to talk, like Liv was on.
Oh, cool.
And then, you know, I said like, yeah, it's not just the entire music scene from 2018. And I just list like, the music scene from 2018. But we've had Jadrian and Rudy from CU's fine arts program with Beth.
2017 baby. Yeah.
Nice.
So it's, you know, it's exciting to get to talk about different mediums from like photography to graphic design
mm-hmm.
to painting to
oh yeah totally I'm interested
just
in
videography
all,
it's
yeah
it's been exciting so
yeah
that's we simple. All fucking make things man
yeah
and
right?
I love that.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Are you guys playing any shows soon? Are you playing any shows? Whether it be like this your current like kind of main project or other projects or
Not that I know of yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of writing right now a little
nice.
More. We actually almost have an EP's worth, which is cool.
Nice.
So that'll be a good kind of jumping off point, and then hopefully
mm-hmm.
we'll have like a definite name by then.
Yeah.
And I'll gladly share it with you guys, and if we have any
nice.
Shows, of course I'll invite you.
Awesome.
But yeah, I don't know yet. It's been kind of fun because I
mm-hmm.
feel like I don't know if you experienced this with Met Exchange, but and it's I love the Marquee, I love the Moon Room. Those
yes.
are some of my favorite venues to play
mm-hmm.
at, and the people are great there and every time.
Mm-hmm.
But at least with Rand July, we all got a little tired of it because
mm-hmm.
we felt like almost
it's just
pigeonholed in like
mm-hmm.
that just that venue.
Yeah.
On the one hand, it's really cool because you build like. A true scene
mm-hmm.
like you see people like every time at these shows or other shows and you're kind of like oh hey like you know
mm-hmm.
like marquee for life, yeah. like that kind of attitude, you know. But we always wanted to play like other venues. It just like never got there. So I think like with my current project, not that we wouldn't love to play Marquee or Moon Room, but we're trying to like do more like DIY stuff starting out. Like could be house show. I love house shows. Those are awesome. Things like that, or even just like some of Denver's like or Boulder's best like really truly underground venues. Because Marquee and those are pretty underground already. Like for the average concert goer, like. Most people don't go to a show there. They go to a show like at, I don't know, Ogden or Pepsi Center, something like that, right? But I mean, like the really underground stuff that like you only find out through like some really like weird like Facebook group that you like has this weird ass link or something. And you're like, what is this? You know,
it's and like then, the band memes 666 thing where he's got like the T-shirt designs like DIY secret show, and it's just like people walking into like a PBR box.
That is so good. That's so good.
If you are like a musician or like DIY artist, you need to follow that page. It's golden. He basically like put like he touched on a lot of the like a lot of his memes are built around like what you're talking about, like the people being kind of snobby. He's like, oh yeah, well if I wanted to be famous and write simple pop songs, I would. It's like, have you released your EP yet? It's like, no, I'm just waiting for the right time. And it's that whole thing. It's just like, yeah, I just have this loopy spacey shit as my EP, and the world's not ready for it. And I don't know if they'll ever be ready for it. And it's just like kind of like making fun of all of us. And it's like you get personally attacked for sure.
Yeah.
Like I got a coffee mug from it. It's my favorite coffee mug ever. And it's like a tuner pedal. It's just like a you know, what is it? Clip art of this guy with like a guitar. He's like, something that doesn't sound right. I better check my tuner. And then it's like the tuner pedal. And instead of like, you know, a note or anything, it just says, you suck.
That's so good. I got to follow this.
They're so good. It's so gold. I love it.
That's amazing. I know, but yeah, I love the DIY scene, honestly, because it's like at least most people I've met through at least the like Boulder area one is they're pretty like self-aware and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so like I feel like you could make those jokes with anybody and that might fit them perfectly.
Yeah,
but they're never gonna be like, oh, you're a fucking prick. Yeah, like, you know, it's just kind of like, oh
yeah,
you know? You're not wrong. Yeah,
yeah. I remember my favorite, by far my favorite DIY show that I ever played, like truly like DIY, was this place called The Forge. It was in Boulder. I don't know how they got shut down.
Yeah,
if it was either a fire code thing or an alcohol.
I think it was a fire code thing, because I think we were booked to play there with like American Grandma and Little Car, and then like week before they got shut down.
Yeah, so
that would have been the only time we ever played in Boulder.
Yeah. No, Boulder's lacking. It's lacking so much. Having gone to see you too, it's like just you have to make an effort to find any like underground show.
Yeah.
That's so funny, because like I remember when it closed down, like I think it was literally like a week and a half after we played our show, so we were one of their last like shows. And that was like the coolest space, because the guys there are so ridiculous and funny and zany. They're really cool dudes who ran it, and the place, it's like just this like storage tank in North Boulder, and they like renovated the shit out of it. Like there's all these like, not that's like super nice and glitzy, but there's like wood paneling and stuff and all this like art and stuff. How did you do this, you know? And it's so off the grid feeling. Like it just doesn't, I feel like North Boulder's already ended at that point. There's just like some random like buildings, and all of a sudden there's this row of storage tanks, like, oh, if you go in this like super seedy looking parking lot, there's a storage tank, that's where you're playing. It's like, oh cool. That's amazing. And it was really fun, because our stuff at the time was a little more like kind of indie shoegazy kind of stuff, and we played with like a band that sounded very Dave Matthews-y, and there was like a straight up pop project too that was cool. I love stuff like that, because it's not like, I just feel like everything doesn't fit in like the best way.
I want to play at like all of the weird like venues Denver and Colorado has to offer, like anything. I want to just play, like you said, like a random like, oh yeah, it's just in like this barrel over here, yeah, that's your stage.
Yeah,
cool, let's go. But like that reminds me of, like, have you ever been to Hangers, or did you ever go to Hangers when they were open?
No.
That was so cool. Like same thing, like just off the grid. It's like way east in like Brighton.
Oh.
And it was literally like these guys, they just have like there's literally like a plane hangar out there, and they just have like, it's like a storage shed hangar. It's like shaped as like this random like you know, the hump kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they just throw shows in there. It's like in the middle of nowhere. Like you drive past, you're like, there's nothing out here. And it's like, yeah, it's in the little shed there. And it was like one of the coolest venues ever. Like one of my favorite shows I've ever seen there was like, it was like Gestalt's EP release show.
Oh, nice.
Like, for Long Boy, and, like, they took the picture that is that album cover there, the weird one where somehow Mackenzie's neck is, like, half of his body, and there was no photo editing, and I'm still confused by that picture. It's weird. I don't know. It's a great picture, but, like, that's... But, like, it was them, and then, like, Glacier Veins was there.
Oh, wow.
And they were playing... It was just this... just and Postcards, I'm pretty sure, played. It was just this nuts show. Oxeye Daisy, I'm pretty sure, played that one. It was just... Nice.
That's really cool.
I was, like... It was, like, one of those scenes where you, like, in, like, the YouTube videos that you watch, where it's just, like, this sweaty, gross basement where everyone's, like, losing their mind, screaming along to these songs, and it's, like, that... It was that.
Yeah.
And... It was like, I got to be a part of this. And that's kind of like been something that, like, I just went to that show, but it was just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And like, that's kind of like the feeling we got at our last show, which was at Horse House. RIP. I miss that venue too. I love that. I love you, Nate. Miss you, man. His band, Pout House, is doing some really cool stuff now. But,
oh, cool. Nice.
Oh, that venue was so cool. Cause like, we had that same thing where we had people just like, I don't know if you, did you guys have, like, an official last show as, like, Rain in July or Pacific Nerve?
Yes. Yeah. But, definitely Rain in July, like, because Riley was leaving at that point. Yeah. He agreed to play the last couple shows with us.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, like, our biggest, like, shows. Yeah. Like, we got that one at Aggie Theater in Fort Collins with state champs and stuff. That was awesome. and then we played one last show at, the Marquee with Assuming We Survive. And, yeah, I think, sorry, yeah. I don't know. It's like, is it the Marquee? Forgetting. Pretty sure it was either that or the Moon Room. Feel bad I'm forgetting, but
yeah.
Anyway, that was great. And that was definitely like our farewell. Like, we even, like, I think like the flyer was like kind of like farewell show, you know.
Yeah.
Pacific Nerve, not really, because we knew Griffin was like he had, like, he was gonna propose and stuff.
Yeah.
And get married to her, but like that was kind of shocker. And this was like around super late 2019, where I had heard one article about COVID-19 in like China. And like, just that whole conspiracy with whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, like, that won't turn into a worldwide pandemic, right?
Oh.
Yeah. And then 3 months later, it was like, oh, Griffin's getting married and moving, and there's a pandemic. Yep. So we never played like a farewell show. Just too bad. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just.
Yeah, it's always interesting because I feel like sometimes it doesn't happen. Like, we still got people. Like, we didn't really tell anyone. We just kind of like low key said stuff. Like, people like. Reached out like, oh yeah, I wish I could come to your show. It was like, yeah, this is your last chance, man.
Yeah.
We had a few people like swing by, like, I think like straight up Andrew Alofson, I'm pretty sure, like, 1,000 Miles of Fire had like a show like that same night, and he came by afterwards, which, sweetest guy. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck? That was so kind of him to just like swing by just to even just for like a few minutes and be like, oh man. But like, I thought that was just like wild, because like, I feel like, especially like being in a band in like a local scene, you sometimes like, you play a lot of shows where you're just like playing to like almost nobody, and it just kind of feels like you're not like making a difference for anybody. But then you have like those shows where it's just like, people actually care, and we've like touched something and like touched a nerve here, a Pacific nerve. But
that's where you throw all those samples. Yeah.
But like, we had like that. And that, like, that Horse House show had that same kind of feeling. And it was just, like, everyone was, like, there were people, like, fucking, like, I remember Nick Lubin from, yeah, that we played that show with Lady Denim. That was their first time in Denver. And, like, Nick Lubin was, like, crowd surfing, and we weren't even going to play, like, one of our songs. And he was, like, you better fucking play that song right now. And we had people, like, play this song, please. And I'm, like, I didn't think you guys cared. What?
Yeah.
You didn't. You actually know our songs? What? And I don't know. It's just like, you never realize, like, no matter what kind of art you make, is like, even if it affects like you and just you, it did its job, kind of thing. And like, you never know the kind of reach that you have and what kind of effect you have on other people through your art. Because it's, you know, sometimes it's a really vulnerable thing to talk about and be like, hey, like, you made a difference for me, kind of thing. And that's like, true. It's easy for us to do that with like, oh, My Chemical Romance saved my life, kind of thing. And like, oh, like, this huge hero, kind of thing. Like, oh, like, but then like, it's, you know, you know, like, there's been like so many shows, like Rain in July shows or like Overslept shows that I've gone to, and just been like, it's like pulled me out of like ruts and stuff before, where it's just like, I didn't feel, you know, like, good enough as like a musician or something, or in like a good thing, and then just going and seeing like, you know, people you know having a great time playing music that you enjoy, that you connect with, and just like, you know, anything's possible kind of thing at that point. So it's just kind of like, art creates art, art imitates art.
Yeah, man. Well, that means a lot. Yeah, same for your band too, actually, because I think one of our first shows ever, if not our first show, like true show. I mean, we had like that ice, like the the pavilion over there, but our first true show was actually with you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you guys were, I think, a little more like, we were just starting out, so you guys were definitely more like an established band, and like kind of our, like, you know, close enough to our sound where it was like, yeah, that's sick. Like, you know, there's more people like our age, etc., like doing this kind of thing, like it feels like cool that we can, they're like becoming part of a scene or something, entering this scene, you know. It was exciting.
Calling us an established thing is kind of funny because we literally just never took ourselves seriously, and it's just like, it's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of funky because, I don't know, it's just weird to talk about because like you never realize that we all like view each other that way, but then when it comes to like talking about yourself, I'm just like, yeah, no, we were this weird little group of jackasses, and that's that.
Well, you were tight, so like it definitely didn't seem like a bunch of jackasses just playing like random shit. That was like, oh, like, you know, they clearly like got their shit down.
This is a podcast where we come and just like gush about each other. I think we are run a bit up on time here.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but we have Beth, do you want to do the honors? Actually, first,
plug your shit.
Yeah. Where can we find you on like any kind of music, any past projects, current projects, like on social media? Where do we find you?
Oh man. Well, unfortunately, as I said before, my current project, we don't have like an Instagram handle or anything yet because we're trying to figure out the name and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee you, we'll have like an EP's worth of music. We'll probably record it even. Kind of more DIY, probably by mid-September, I would say, at this rate.
Yeah.
And I, you know, hopefully by then we'll have like a, we'll start our social media presence and be able to like tag things and stuff for our shows. When we get photos too with like the Morning Honey stuff, we can like tag each other in. That was really fun.
That was so much fun.
But yeah, so unfortunately we don't have any like stuff out there like in my current project, but you can look up Rain in July or Pacific Nerve on Spotify. Rain in July, we only have a Facebook page looming out there. Pacific Nerve, we also have an Instagram. It's still up there. We're not active on it anymore, of course. But you can check out our music there. I think we have it on every platform. So if you don't use Spotify, you can use it on Apple Music or, you know, Deezer and all those other platforms.
Do you guys go through DistroKid?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, yeah. And then it's just like, you're on all of these platforms. I'm like, I know two of them.
It's like, oh, I see TikTok on there. I'll let you guys know.
Awesome.
Yeah, for sure. But
definitely
sorry listeners, I don't have any like truly current music to share, but
you're active and it's something to look forward to, so that's exciting. So
yeah, definitely.
Okay. Keep an eye out.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for having me on. This has been really
fun. Of course.
Fun.
We actually have one last question.
Oh, sorry.
We close out all of them. No, you're good. You're good. Do you want to do the honors or do you want me to ask?
I mean, I got it. All right. Ethan, what feels like home to you?
That's a loaded question. What feels like home to me? Man, well, I think honestly, the thing that makes me feel most at home is more like being around all of my, maybe a cliche answer, but all of my family and friends. Like whenever I come back to Louisville, you know, I usually, this feels like home because it's like basically where I've grown up, and a lot of my friends don't live here anymore, but it's still like all the memories kind of linger like forevermore almost. But I would say in general, it doesn't have to be in Louisville, just like if I'm around my family and definitely like friends too, I feel like at home. So if I'm hanging out with people, you know, jamming or just hanging out with friends who don't play music, for me, that's what it feels like home. But I also, I will say, it sounds contradictory, but I also sometimes feel like at home, like when I'm kind of out of my element a little bit too, like on stage. Like I feel in my element because I like know what I'm doing up there and stuff, but it's also like usually a new exciting experience every time. And it's like a little nerve wracking. Like even though if I'm playing the same set, I've played like 100 times, like it's still like that's probably my first time I'm playing on this stage or with these bands or in front of these people, you know, it's not like it's the same people every time. Yeah. So for me, that also feels like home, just in more of like a, like I'm out of my comfort zone way, but it feels good, kind of home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that'd be my answer, I'd say, for both. But, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Spent the last year trying to mend the way you left me lying wide-eyed in my bed.
Yeah, thank you both. It's been really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. It's nice. I like how this is, like, to an extent, it's seeing where everyone's at and seeing where you're going and also just, like, reconnecting and just, like, all this stuff. It feels like getting back to the point of, like, hey, you still got a scene here. It just kind of moved around a little bit.
In its design, the way the door shut, but I still can't see through fine. You're still on my mind.
So just like reconnecting and stuff, like Beth did the album artwork for the last EP I did, so if you're looking for
nice.
Yeah, I do.
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Out, like probably the next, like as I said, like month, hopefully.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Month, so that's cool. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Just making new connections.
Yeah. Definitely. I know, and I just love how like, because I was with Brody and Mike, who are in my current band. And, you know, we always love coming back here. None of us actually live here, like, in Louisville anymore, but we were just in Boulder, like, going to a couple bars with some friends, and we still kind of wanted to, like, have one more drink kind of thing, but Brody was at his parents' place, which is around here, and so we're like, oh, let's go to Tilly, because, like, it's totally just a mainstay for downtown Louisville.
Yeah.
It's just so funny, because there's no way I thought I would run into anybody, let alone you, man.
Yeah.
I thought you lived in, I thought you just lived in Westminster or Barton, or this is where I live now. So I just... The chances of running into you, and I was like, oh my god, Patrick. So crazy.
That was just like, you know, you never know what's gonna happen. It's wild.
Yeah. You say it always back to you. It always back to you. It always back to you.